And actually, it should be titled Several Special Days. It's going to look at a lot of situations in the Bible that special events and through our word. But first scripture I want to look at is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 1, if you want to turn there. And says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. And that's main scripture we'll look at tonight. We're going to start from there, but let's just all look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we'll just ask that you have your way tonight, Lord. Guide me, Lord, and help me to speak what you'd have me to say, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for the meeting, talking to us this morning, Lord, through your Spirit. Let's pray, God, that you'd speak to each heart, Lord. Just have your way here tonight, Lord. We give you the praise and the thanks, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. One special day, and we can start out in Genesis, and we'll go all the way through to Revelations, but it starts out in the beginning, the creation of God. It was very special. God making a place for us to live. And the first day, he made light. And the second day, the firmament, the atmosphere, the heavens. And then the third day, dry land. And then the fourth day, light bearers, the sun, the moon, the stars. And the fish and the birds, he made the fifth day. The animals and the humans, the sixth day. But all these things he created, and his main creation was man. His creating his image, and he gave us dominion over all else that he created. And he said everything that he had made, it was good. And God said it was very good, and it's the way it began. But on the Genesis 2:2 is another day. It talks about it's a day of rest. And I thank the Lord for making a day of rest. We all need a rest from time to time. It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And he intended for man to follow this pattern. We work 6 days a week, he says, in the Ten Commandments, but on the Sabbath day, we're to keep it holy, set it apart for the worshiping of the Lord, and a day of rest. But it wasn't very long before sin showed up in the garden, and we know the story how Satan deceived Eve, and Adam disobeyed God and followed along also. But in chapter 3 and verse 23 of Genesis, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man from the place of the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And he didn't want man to stay in that sinful state forever. Didn't want to partake of that tree of life. But when we get the revelations, we see another opportunity for those that have obeyed God and have kept his commandments. We will have that chance to partake of that tree, and we will live forever with him in a non-sinful state, pure, holy state. And another special day is the day of Passover in Exodus 12 and 12. And all these verses I'm sure you're familiar with, heard of many times, but it says here, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So it's one special day that he intended for his people to remember, keep passing on generation to generation, how he preserved the firstborn in each family when that blood wasn't over the doorpost and the eldest child died in the Egypt there. And I don't understand how Pharaoh could be so confused to chase after them after they were released with God working the miracles that he did. But I guess his heart was just hardened to that point. You know, he just didn't think straight. But we see also another miracle in Exodus 13:21, how God said, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar from of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And they had a visible presence of God there with them. And still Pharaoh come after them. And, you know, what else could be the explanation rather than God being with them and protecting them? And yet we see the outcome, how when they did pursue, it was to their own fate, their own death. And they should have known better, learned their lesson before, but I guess they didn't. But Joshua 10, verse 12, another special day. Said, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. The sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down upon about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." So what a day to remember, you know, the Lord stopping the sun and the moon. You know, don't know whether he tilted the axis just right where the sun kept going, or he just stopped there from spinning, or whatever. However he wanted to do it, he could. He was powerful enough to do it. He's God over nature. He can walk on the water, whatever he chooses to, you know, speak to the winds and they cease. But there's nothing too hard for the God we serve. And there's not a day like it, it said. And then Psalms 84 and 10. "For a day in the court is in thy court is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of the wicked, of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Thanks that the Lord lets us be a part in his courts, lets us come into his presence. And it says, Psalms 145 and 2, "Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever." Psalms 139 and 12 says, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and darkness as the light are both alike unto thee." So God sees all. There's nothing hid from him. You know, we know that most of the evil things that goes on in the world are usually at the nighttime where people are asleep and people think they're getting away with something. But yet God sees it all. There's nothing hid from him. In Matthew 6 and 34, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And if you ever follow the news, it doesn't take very long, you know, to figure out, you know, there's no shortage on the wickedness and evil in this world. You know, it just seems like there's no end to it. It just seems like it gets worse by the day. In John 9 and 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. So he was busy about his Father's business while he was here. He worked, he accomplished the mission that the Father sent him to do. And I'm thankful that he was obedient to the Father for our sake as well as his. In 1 Corinthians 3 and 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. So that day is coming when our works will be manifested. We will either receive a reward or we will not, but those that are already born again, they will still have their eternal life, but the rewards, according to their works, here it's going to decide what they will be rewarded for and what they will not, according to their works. And then John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We don't know when that last day is going to be. The Lord spoke to us this morning and told us, you know, he's coming soon. It's getting near. We need to be ready. And I thank the Lord for speaking through his Spirit to us, you know, reaffirming that to us. We know his word, but it's nice to hear it come from him and just keep it fresh on our mind. In James 5, in verse 1, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last day. So, once again, it's talked about the last day. Talking about the judgment day, I would assume it's talking about how they've heaped things together. They've kept it to their own covetous nature, not sharing or doing what they can with it to help others. But it's going to be a witness against them, it says. In 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And this is Paul speaking. He said he fought the good fight. He finished his course. He didn't go all the way, accomplish what the Lord intended for him to do. And I've heard that he was a martyr, laid down his life for the Lord. But he wasn't afraid of death. No, he said it. He spoke about it being better for our sake that he would stay around to help us than to go on. But when it was his time, he wasn't afraid to die. Had confidence in where he was going. John 6 and 9. This is my Father's will that sent me, that all which he hath given me I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And Jesus speaking again, he talked about the last day, what the Father had given him. He would not lose any of it. He would present it to him. And then Jude 1 and 9, we read about the angels that rebelled against God and how they are reserved for the day of judgment. And says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but kept their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And Also, I want to look in John 19 and 14. And this goes hand in hand with what we are going to be celebrating here in the next few days about Christ's resurrection. In John 19:14, it says, "And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he was saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. And they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. He, bearing his cross, went forth to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, which they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus is Nazareth, King of the Jews. And we read there in Ecclesiastes in the beginning how there was a purpose and a time for everything under the sun on earth. And even the time when the Lord laid down his life for us, he went to the cross and he did it without any complaints. And he was willing to surrender his life in the place of ours, a vicarious death. In Mark 15:42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled as if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. When he knew it of a certain a centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which he hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone upon the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he laid him." And so we see the burial of Jesus right after his death in the crucifixion. Then we see Mark 16:9. And when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards he appeared unto 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And so we see the Christ had raised again like he promised he would. After 3 days, he come back to life. And Luke 24:1. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabouts, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And so we see another report of Jesus' appearance come out of the grave in John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So Jesus sent his disciples out. We know the Great Commission. He's told us all to go share the gospel with others. And when he ascended back to the Father, that was his command to his people. In Acts 1 and 8, these are all special days in the history of our Bible and here on earth. It says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the utmost parts of the earth." When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly towards heaven as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Can you just imagine what it was like that day when never before had anyone seen anyone just vanish into the sky, you know, just lifted up and gone. You know, their Lord, they're thinking it's going to be their king and be with them and build a kingdom here, and they didn't really understand, but here he is just drifting up into the clouds, goes right out of their sight. But he gave them a command before he left, told them, you know, that he wanted them to go share the gospel with all the others throughout the world, and also he promised to send back the Holy Spirit. Pastor touched on this morning, and a lot of the things I'm speaking here tonight, but it says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And this was the ushering in of the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out upon the church. And it wasn't a one-time thing. The Lord intends for us yet to experience it yet today. And most of us have. And hopefully all of us will. But another day, a special day we're looking for, is the Lord's rapture, the trumpet sound. In 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 16, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And I do look forward to the Lord's return, and I'm sure all of us do. We have loved ones, I know, that's probably not saved yet, and there probably always will be someone that's not saved when he does finally come. He talked even about the parable of the 10 virgins, even in the church. It seemed like half of them were ready, half were not. So there's always going to be a group of people that's not going to make it. But yet, we got to pray, "Lord, come quickly." But yet, at the same time, we got to keep those that don't know him yet in prayer. And 2 Peter 3 and 8. He says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, wherein the day the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to this promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So those that are hasting, looking for the Lord's return, watching, I believe they will be ready, those that are living right and prepared for his return. But like I said, there's going to be some that will not make it. But the day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2, it says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should come upon you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In 2 Timothy 1 and 12 says, he is able to keep them which that which we have committed unto him against that day. So we can put our trust in the Lord. We don't have to worry. He's faithful. We can trust that he will provide and meet the needs. And Revelations 22 and 5, and this is a special day. We talked about how the sun stood still, and the Lord delayed the day, the pattern, normal pattern of the cycle that it was running. But it says, there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. They shall reign forever and ever. And so there'll be no night there. It's going to be one day. We won't need the sun nor the moon. We talked about how they stopped, but here we won't even need them. The Lord is going to be the light up that place. Revelations 21:23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So that's going to be one special day, and it's going to be a forever day, and no never ending. It's no nighttime there. And I thank the Lord, you know, we've all had special times in our history we can think back upon. America getting her independence and becoming a free nation. Slavery abolished, you know, the good times that we can remember. Astronauts landing on the moon. Pearl Harbor attack. World wars that began and end. There are special times and days, but the Twin Towers, the terrorism attack, you know, these things we can remember. Then there's lesser degree things we can always refer back to. Time we graduated from school or got our first car, you know, or our marriage, you know, cars we've had, our children being born. There's a lot of things we can look back, but we see loved ones passing on. One day we'll get to see them again. It's going to be a glad reunion day. And the Bible says, like we read earlier, there's a time and a season for every purpose under the heavens. We are not here forever. We have our appointed time. We will pass on, go on. But the Lord's prepared a place for us. He's promised to come and take us back to be with him. But I'm looking forward to that one special day, you know, when we are there in the Lord's presence. And we'll all stand before the Lord and give an account of our works here in this life. And he'll either say, enter in, or he'll say, depart. You know, it's going to be a special time we'll never forget. But hopefully there won't be any of us turned away. But I'm looking for that special day when we'll be with the Lord in that new Jerusalem and be forever. No more sin, no more death. We can think back time like when polio, they found a cure for it, and you know, it wasn't such a big problem like it was in the past. When we get there, there's not going to be any sickness. You know, there's going to be cure for everything. There's no more sickness to worry about, no more fear, no pain or sickness, you know, more death. I just look forward to that day when God comes again. It's going to be a special day. Now, turn it back to you, brother.